Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator of Servants of the Lord Ministries. Today, before I start my message, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I have given them those things and it's blessed them, but there's a part of their spirit that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. Today I'm going to be speaking to you about the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot produce an abundance of this fruit without first becoming a disciple of Jesus and getting on the narrow way. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. That fruit of the Spirit is not something that we can produce ourselves. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 4, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more ye except ye abide in me. Paul was speaking in Ephesians chapter 4, this is Ephesians chapter 4, 23 and 24. And he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In Christ, your mind needs to be renewed so that you do not hinder this process of producing the fruit of the Spirit. Don't go back to your reasoning and understanding after putting on the new man. For example, we are supposed to be children of God, expressing His feelings and His emotions. Your life belongs to Him. Jesus prayed for those disciples and for those who would believe on His words that those disciples wrote. In John 17, and starting in verse 20, He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which will believe on me through their word. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that thou also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that thou may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. God gave us feelings so that we could recognize how He feels. My emotions should be linked to His. There should be not any separation between you and your God if you're walking in holiness. The eternal realm should be more real than the temporal realm. You cannot be one with God when there is open sin in your life. There will even be some sadness as part of your repentance as you work out your salvation in fear and trembling. But later, there will be joy, peace and freedom from sin and the devil. When He is sad, you feel sad. Just by being one together with Him as Lord. In John 17, even the world will recognize that the Father sent Jesus. They see your expression and our emotions do not change with outward circumstances. Jesus taught like this in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 3. This is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. Said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And finally, verse 9 in this reading, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. In the Amplified Bible, in each of these verses, the word blessed is defined like this, as happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions. The world is envious of the fruit of those who consistently follow Christ. The world will call disciples who make peace where there is no peace. They will call them children of God. They will see the change and they will know that the kingdom of God is at work in your life when you follow Him. Jesus said to His own disciples in Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The word deny here in Strong's means to deny utterly, that is to disown, to abstain, or to deny. Webster defines denying yourself as to deny oneself is to decline the gratifications of appetites or desires, to refrain from or to abstain. The Amplified Bible defines deny as to disregard, to lose sight of, to forget yourself and your own interests. And again, the Amplified Bible defines taking up your cross as conforming wholly to the example of Jesus in living and, if necessary, in dying also. Taking up your cross means putting God's will and plan first. If this means suffering and death on a cross, then fine. People will see joy fill you even when you deny yourselves and take up your cross. The world believes a lie that by serving God, you will never have fun again the rest of your life. Jesus is teaching that we can have a new set of emotions, feelings, after we deny ourselves. Putting on that new man means not serving emotions and feelings generated by the carnal nature. Rights and wrongs can generate carnal feelings. Emotions and feelings can be even based on lies and human traditions. Do not deceive yourself. You must deny your own feelings and serve God. Become a disciple means being a servant of Christ. Make sure you have this attitude in you right up until the day Jesus comes. Jesus taught in Luke 17. This is Luke 17, verses 7 to 10. I'm reading in the New King James Version. And this is what he said. And which of you, having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not say rather to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all these things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. You need to be a servant to live in the kingdom of God now. Right up until the end, you know that you are unprofitable. If you think God owes you something for what you have done for Him, you'll be waiting a long time. The best you can be is unprofitable. We are nothing. We were created by God. He created us. He gave us breath. He sent us to this earth. God will get the glory for the work done by His Spirit, His way with His power. He will honor you because he was able to do the work through you. Jeremiah 18 says, he is the potter and you are the clay. Jeremiah 18:4 says this, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. The psalmist says in Psalm 37 and verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Even if you've had some interests and desires before salvation that were not outright evil, it was carnal. And you need to remember that you were what you were like before salvation and confess any and all bad fruit and give those desires to him. This word delight in Strong's comes from a primitive root. It means to be soft or pliable. That is figuratively effeminate or luxurious, delicate. And you delight and you sport yourself. You are supposed to be pliable, like that clay, and let him use you. Instead of seeking your own interests, you have become the weaker vessel, delicate, and ready to be his bride. You can only do this if you are in love with the Lord. Do you know what a privilege it is to serve in God's kingdom and to be his disciple? It is only by grace through faith that he uses us. The more you serve, the greater he can use you. If you resist, he cannot use you, but he still loves you. Do not lose sight of being a servant in the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. If you always think of that others should serve you, then you will not be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Your attitude to serving determines your rank now in the kingdom of God and for all eternity as well. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but on every man also on the things of others. You are higher ranking as a servant of the Lord in the kingdom of God now than the greatest person living on this earth. You are even greater than a prophet like John the Baptist if Jesus is Lord of your life. Jesus said this in Matthew 11:11. He said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. To follow him means you serve him and become very sensitive to how he feels. It's easier then to do the will of God and produce the fruit of the Spirit and give up any attempt to be good and let God do what he wants to do through you. One Methodist lay preacher said to me years ago, let go and let God. The fruit you bear includes God using the emotions and feelings he gave you. If you want the fruit of the Spirit, he also has to be Lord of your feelings and emotions in order to produce that godly fruit. Paul said it like this in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. They are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The works of the flesh are based on following your own interests and your own desires. But if you follow these desires, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You were saved by grace through faith to do His works by the Spirit. Paul said in Ephesians 2 and starting in verse 8, this is Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. He said, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." And in verse 10, he said, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." Again, Paul says in Hebrews chapter 4, "For he that is entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. And let us labor therefore to enter the rest, lest any man after the same example of unbelief." Your inheritance now includes an abundance of fruit. Has the devil stolen this fruit so easily from under your nose? When someone annoys you, does bad fruit still appear? Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 39, "But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." Jesus prayed for his disciples like this in John 17 and 15. He said, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." Your Heavenly Father can keep you from evil. When Joseph Hitchcock was being trained, he did not resist evil done to him. God used different people who were not walking closely with God, and God protected Joseph from evil. Paul describes the world like this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 31. He says, "Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Do not react, no matter what others do." Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 3 and verse 14, "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known." Without peace, you will always be stressed and bitter. Bitterness is also a fruit that you are not following Christ. Misery is all that you will experience, and you'll be reaping what you're sowing without that grace and mercy from God. God loves you and wants you to come into the light. It starts by honestly looking at your fruit so that you can see whether or not you are really in the Spirit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ Jesus is in you, except you be reprobates." At salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in. But Jesus said in John 14 and 21, "He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Love is a fruit that can only be produced by grace through faith, not by works. Only by hearing his voice can you develop his love in you. Jesus said in John 13 and 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Having this love is proof that you are a disciple of Jesus. John 14:23-24. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. And he that loves me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Christ can also set up his throne or his abode in your heart through seeking and keeping his commandments and following his instructions. Paul said in Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That glory comes as you bear that fruit of Christ from him living in you. He also said in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And again in Romans 13:10, love worketh no evil to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Paul spoke about this love, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit, and said in 1 Corinthians 13:6, he said, it rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. For more information on how you can develop this love relationship through hearing his voice, please get a copy of the book, How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. Before salvation, your mind and flesh, through lust, rejoiced in temporal glory and monetary gain. This was based on lies, power, the love of money, and greed. If you have the right fruit, you can rejoice in the truth and conviction. Ask yourself, have you really changed? Are you still trying to be good enough and produce a sacrifice that cannot equal the fruit of the Spirit? Open your heart now and let God show you through the conviction of the Holy Spirit where you have sown to the flesh and repent. Paul said in Galatians 6:7-8, this is Galatians 6, he said, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:8 says, he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap eternal and everlasting life. If you do not like what you are reaping, then stop sowing to the flesh. It's simple to change the quality of your life on this earth through repentance. Romans 8:13 says, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. If you do not repent of being in the flesh and of serving the flesh, you will die. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. If you want to live, then surrender to the Holy Spirit. There is no third option. Jesus has authority to give you everlasting life, and he can deal with your flesh as he has power over all mankind. Jesus said in John 17:2-3, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Only by knowing God personally can you have an abundance of fruit. Peter said it like this in 1 Peter 1, second verse, he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul described the fruits of the Spirit like this in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. He said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." Verse 23, "meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Verse 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts." Your fruit shows whether you are truly trusting Him, whether you have made Him Lord, and through the power of the Holy Spirit have overcome your flesh. All these fruits are available now, hallelujah. When you live in the kingdom, you may believe that you belong to Christ. But Paul says, if you do, then you have crucified that flesh with all its affections and lusts. Make sure that Jesus Christ is really your Lord, that you belong to Him. James mentions some of the fruits of the Spirit as well. In James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, he said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." The joy of the Lord will enable you to be effective and face trials and temptations of many kinds. If you do not have these fruits in abundance, you will sin. The devil does not want you to get to that place where he cannot tempt you anymore. This is when you are perfect and want nothing. You can have joy, patience, and peace in abundance by working out your salvation in fear and trembling. The word joy in Strong's number 5479 means cheerfulness, that is calm delight, gladness, exceedingly great gladness, and joy. You can stop temptation now by working on this patience which comes through rejoicing. Patience is also one of the fruits of the Spirit. Patience is defined in Strong's as cheerful endurance, constancy, enduring patience, patient, continuous. God is trying to get you to a place of cheerful patience. You have to work on your definition of being cheerful when being still before God. Paul said in Philippians 2 and 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." The definition of cheerful does not include being grumpy. In Nehemiah 8 and 10, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto your Lord. Neither ye be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is a fruit of the Spirit too. Jesus said you need strength to do the work of God. When you are destroying the works of the evil one, in Luke 11, starting in verse 20 to 22, and Jesus said, "But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come unto you." Verse 21, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come unto him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. The joy of the Lord will keep you strong like Jesus. Paul explained here how to get the peace of God. He says in Philippians 4 and 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The psalmist says in 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. That joy comes from abiding in his presence and letting him use you. That's what brings the greatest pleasure. It is possible to work on one fruit at a time. The fruit of the Spirit are the building blocks for the new creation. Paul is saying here that joy is needed to get the peace of God. James is saying joy is needed to get that patience. Paul gave us a list of the fruits of the Spirit, and love was first on the list in Galatians 5:22. He wrote, love, joy, peace. I believe Paul's instruction is the best order of developing the fruits of the Spirit. Also, joy and peace is a wise choice because it will enable you to recognize that you are in the kingdom of God or not. Paul says in Romans 14 and 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. When that peace is troubled, then you know danger is ahead. You know there is maybe a way that seems right. You might not realize sin is crouching at the door of your heart, but the peace of God will be troubled to warn you. Stop when that peace is troubled and ask God at that time, and you will get special grace to hear him. James said it like this in James 3 and 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good gifts, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The devil wants to think you've failed when the peace of God is being troubled. However, at this point, when your peace is troubled, you have not come out of his presence, but you could be on the edge of his kingdom. Paul said this in Hebrews 4 and 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That throne is at the center of God's kingdom. It is only when that peace leaves you that you have really sinned and come out of his kingdom. In his presence, you will have joy and spiritual strength while everyone else is panicking in the face of evil. Paul gave these instructions for such a situation. In Philippians 4 and 5, he said, let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. The word moderation in Strong's 1933, that is, by implication, mild, gentle, moderation, or patient. We need to do everything in moderation. Feeding the flesh is like eating a lot of sugar. That sugar can give you energy quickly, and then afterwards you become even more tired. The devil's lies are served with a cream cake or a sugary soft drink or a sweet-tasting burger to feed the flesh. The flesh is satisfied only for a while, and then you're back to the same situation, and now you're weaker and more susceptible to temptation through lies and unbelief. The devil is leading you deeper and deeper into temptation when you listen to him. God is not judging you right now. You may feel condemnation, but that is not from God. He is bringing grace and truth so that through conviction you can come to repentance and get free from the snares of Satan before time runs out. James says it like this. This is James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Paul continues in Philippians 4 and verse 6. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You can only be calm and patient when you know the Lord is at hand. If you want that peace of God working properly, you must not worry about anything. If you go back to being anxious, you may even invite a spirit of fear and end up trading with the devil again. Do not negotiate with a terrorist. The devil is a terrorist. And those who sin do not believe God is at hand and take matters into their own hands. Paul said to Timothy, this is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You cannot have that power, love, and a sound mind if you're still serving a spirit of fear. Fear in your mind can trigger emotions based on memories that have not been dealt with through repentance. When you abide and feel yourself withdrawing, repent. It may be because of fear. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You are supposed to face conflict and trials. If you withdraw, then you're not functioning as God intended with the fruit of the Spirit and the armor of God. You have to choose between a spirit of fear and the peace of that God gives. Paul says it here in Philippians 4, 7, and 8. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Follow these instructions here in verse 8 to keep your mind focused on the things above and maintain the peace of God. It will maintain that peace. For more information, refer to the book Three Infallible Witnesses by Joseph Hedgecock. In Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, the scripture says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God's ways are not man's ways. His solutions are based on meekness and humility. He will fight for you if you let him. Do not try to fight yourself, as you will lose. The battle belongs to the Lord. Joseph Hedgecock says, if you help God a lot, he can do a little. If you help God a little, he can do a lot. But if you don't help him at all, he can do anything. Just stand in him. 1 Samuel 12 and 16 says, now therefore, stand and see the great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Paul says in Romans 5 and 2, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Standing means that you are happy, rejoicing, not baptized in lemon juice. God will get the glory when he does the work. You will bear much fruit also as a result, to bring glory to Him. His ways are not man's ways. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Again, Paul says in Ephesians 6 and 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Your mind and emotions might be going crazy, but you have to take every thought captive and not care about yourself and listen to God. There's an old song that says, turn your radio on, listen to God. James gives you a step-by-step guide on how to overcome temptation. In James chapter 1, Jesus must be your first love to overcome. In James chapter 1 and verse 12, James says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. Hallelujah. Remember, with Him, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 29 and 30, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke was something used in farming, not just to share the weight across two oxen, fully grown steer, but also to train a younger ox. The mature ox would know what to do and to stay under that yoke and keep in line with it. But the young ox would not know what to do. So a young ox was yoked together with the more experienced ox. Whenever the young ox would resist or try to do his own things or go his own way, this is when the yoke would rub in on his back and create like a sore wound. It was not the yoke creating the sore, but the attitude and behavior of the young ox. The yokes were handmade to the size of the animal, so the yoke was not the problem. The young ox had to learn to be yoked and to stay under the yoke and follow the lead of the experienced ox who knew how to carry the yoke. In these verses, Jesus says, take up his yoke and learn from him. Our calling is to come under his yoke. He knows how to go through suffering and temptation without this creating any sores. If we resist his lordship, the path he wants to go, then this creates friction and consequences. We have to submit to where he wants to take us, when and for whatever purpose. Some ox plow a field, some might haul produce or heavy goods. If we do this, we will be fine and the yoke will be easy and the burden is light. When the ox is training, the bigger ox, the more mature one, the stronger one, more experienced, pulls the weight. Paul also warned us against this yoke of slavery. In Galatians 5 and verse 1, it said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with where Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The word bondage here means slavery. This can be something that you are carrying, that you are craving. It can be a religious obligation, draining your energy slowly so that you do not even notice. You're not free because you are yoked to something other than Jesus. And that is what is wearing you out. A yoke of bondage is like a ball chained around your leg. It makes you feel guilty too, you'll fail so many times. It can be a religious burden, trying to maintain just an outward righteousness. Jesus said to his own disciples in John 15:5, he said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If you are trying to produce that fruit by yourself, then you are not trusting in the precious promises of God in Christ Jesus. Don't think about yourself or your own needs. Seek to obey the Holy Spirit in faith. The flesh and the spirit are opposites. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Choose wisely how you build your life. Do not try to serve two masters. It's impossible. Since you accepted Christ, you should have an abundance of the fruit of the Spirit if you've been transformed. Jesus continued this teaching by saying, verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Look at your fruit, as this is proof whether you are abiding or not. If you are not abiding, you will be cast forth. The words of Jesus abide in you by doing them. James says, in James 1:23-25, for if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that man shall be blessed in his deed. Christ has set you free so that you could produce the fruit of the Spirit by continuing in his word. Jesus said in John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. No fruit means you're not applying what the Spirit is teaching you through repentance. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Many things are changing in your life through repentance. When you abide in Christ, the word abideth is defined as a primary verb to stay in a given place, a state or relationship, in a state of expectancy. It means to abide, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand or to tarry. Hallelujah. Webster defined abiding as dwelling, remaining, continuing, enduring, awaiting, or a continuance, a fixed state of residence in enduring. Abiding requires some endurance. Webster defined endurance like this: a bearing of suffering, a continuing under pain or distress without resistance or without sinking or yielding to the pressure, sufferance or patience. Endurance is required to get to the root of sin, but you do not need to do this alone. In John 15 and verse 7, Jesus said, you can ask whatever you need in His name, and you shall have it. Repentance is also the means for you to be a doer of the word and abide. Jesus will provide what you need to abide and produce fruit. He is Lord. Paul said in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We're to run that race of faith with patience. Speed does not win the race, but patient endurance does. Patience in Strong's is 5281. It means cheerful or hopeful endurance, constancy, enduring patience, or patient continuous waiting. Webster defines patience as the suffering of afflictions, pain or toil, calamity, provocation or other evil, with a calm, unruffled temper, endurance, without murmuring or fretfulness. Patience may spring from constitutional fortitude, from a kind of heroic pride, or from Christian submission to the divine will. Without the fruit of patience, you cannot run your race. Webster also defined and wrote about patience in this way. He said it's a calm temper which bears evils without murmuring or discontent. He said it's the act of, or the quality of, waiting long for justice or expected good without discontent. It's the perseverance, the constancy in labor or exertion. Or it's the quality of bearing offenses and injuries without anger or revenge. Paul said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Jesus said in John 3, 15 and 16, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In John 3, 16, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Amplified Bible defines believing in Him as trusting in Him, clinging to Him, and relying on Him. This word means to really trust Him. Perish in the Amplified means to come to destruction or be lost. Let's consider these things. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence that you're working out your salvation, that you're on the narrow way. If this fruit stops being produced, then you know something is wrong, and maybe you're being deceived. Matthew 7 and 13 and 14, Jesus told us, enter in through the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there go that way. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. God can even allow some trials and persecutions to wake us up and realize that we are coming off the narrow path so that we can repent. The fruit of the Spirit can only be produced by following Jesus and getting on that narrow way. Many are listening to a wrong voice, trying to produce some counterfeit fruits and want to somehow enter the sheepfold unnoticed. But Jesus said in John 10 and verse 1, "Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Jesus also taught this in John 10 and 27. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." The real sheep of Jesus have the ability to do these three things. They hear his voice, despite all the other voices they may be hearing. They are progressively getting to know God by keeping sin out and overcoming the flesh. They follow Jesus and they have the fruit of being a disciple. Jesus warned us in Matthew 7, starting in verse 15. He said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Verse 16, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles?" Verse 17, "Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." Verse 18, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Verse 21, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." Verse 22 and 23, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity." If you know that you are lacking that fruit, and you've never really made him Lord, humble yourself right now. Come to God. Make a fresh start. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." When you have sinned, the devil wants you to think that you have failed. But remember, he is a liar. The opposite must at least be true, since he's a liar. The devil is trying to say that judgment has come early. But Paul is saying there is no condemnation in Christ. So what voice are you listening to? Do not blame the preacher or anyone else. You are out of Christ. Get back in and abide. There is no judgment there. Do not have any conversation with the devil. Instead, resist the devil and just talk to the Father who loves you. If you continue to walk after the flesh, you will die. In Romans 8:13, Paul does not mention that there is a third option. Either you are listening to the voice of God and serving him, or you're listening to the flesh and you will die. John said in 1 John 3 and 8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Some might say, "I cannot help sinning." This confession is proof that there is a prison that the devil is keeping you in. He has access. Somehow you are serving the devil. And Jesus is not your master. if you remain in the flesh, you will end up on some way that seems right. In Proverbs 14 and 12, it says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. On that wrong road, even your laughter, there will be much sorrow. Get on the narrow way. The devil will try to make you comfortable when you're on that broad way. But God wants you to be uncomfortable when you're in the flesh, so that you come to repentance and learn to abide in His presence. James says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then the lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren, he says. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's James chapter 1, verses 14 to 17. You can produce this fruit by being in the Spirit. Your own disobedience or attempts to bring a sacrifice will just feed the flesh and make it stronger. You can never equal what the fruit of the Spirit will do for you. I've tried to explain how the fruits work in this message. Your character and your soul will also grow weaker as you start to make excuses based on your flesh. And so next time it'll be even easier to be tempted. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, Paul says this, there hath no temptation taken you, such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You can do something now to prevent sin happening again and again. Sin comes from being drawn away by the lust of the flesh. God is not the problem. He is faithful. Do not blame the devil. The devil lied to you, but you preferred what he was offering. When you listen to a wrong voice other than the truth, you will end up being weak and prone to temptation. Come into the light and you will find truth. Sin is invited, the devil is invited, when we live in the flesh. There is only one solution for sin, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, he says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The forgiveness of sins allows you to come back in His presence instantly, and you can stay there as long as you submit to Him and produce that fruit. Start repenting and endure any correction by faith so that you can be changed and become an obedient child of God. A strong Christian knows how to abide through repentance and consistent obedience to the Spirit. The devil will not use tricks against you unless you're trying to get free. The devil is like a bully. You might be making good progress, and then because of sin, you feel like a failure. The devil can just play with your emotions, trying to get you to give up. The devil wants you to believe it's not possible to stop sinning. Then your own negative faith will stop you from overcoming sin in the future because unbelief is hindering your faith now. Then the devil does not have to tempt you again. If you are tired or wore out, then your own unbelief will cause you just to sin and make excuses. The devil will offer you some nice feelings to feed the flesh instead of going to the Lord for correction. Everyone has the potential to be transformed. We were all cut off from God through sin. But now, if you're born again, you can be reconnected to God through the Holy Spirit. It's like spiritual Wi-Fi, connected now through what Jesus did by dying on that cross. And any time that connection is broken, just confess your sins. If you want to hear about how to get to know Jesus and follow Jesus and consistently want to hear His voice, then I want to recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you know you need to make a fresh start from this message and you want to make Him Lord, not just call Him Lord, but you actually want to make Him Lord with daily and regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to learn more on how the devil is using lies, if you want to have more information on ways that seem right, please read the book The Guilted Prison by Joseph Hedgecock. The revised edition is available in English. If you've been listening to this message today and you know that there is a lack of fruit there, then you can make Jesus Lord. Just some simple truths there. Maybe you've never actually realized the importance of following Jesus. You saw that as something that was just for a few super spiritual people. But it's part of the Christian walk. You can be a disciple. You can be a follower of Jesus. And my prayer for you right now is that you will take up your cross and follow Him. Father, I pray for everyone listening to this message that they will be able to see the beautiful truths in this message about how fruit will build in them strong foundations. That strong foundation will be a testimony and bring glory to God because they abide in You and they trust in You and they cling to You and they will not move, they will stand. And God, You will fight on their behalf. Even if temptation comes, the fruits of the Spirit will be their helper. And Father, You will be there for them. Even as they're struggling, they will call upon You and You will answer. And anything they need, they can ask it as they abide in You. I pray for everyone who has ears to hear what's been said in this message and they can rescue themselves from the snare of the evil one. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for listening. If you want to get in touch with the ministry, you'll see the contact details afterwards. I pray that you have a wonderful day. You enjoy these messages. God bless you.
If you've struggled spiritually for years, if you're not where you should be in your Christian walk, if you're determined to finish the race that God has set for you, then this book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, is written for you. This book by Joseph Hedgecock will give you details and instructions on how to identify hindrances in your life and how to overcome them. It will give you practical examples of how to get into God's presence and to stay there. and how to allow all things to pass away and things to become new. It will teach you how to be in your Father's arms and allow Him to discipline you and to encourage you and to bring you on and move you forward, to lay a right foundation that can be built on by Him later on. If you want to grow in your Father's arms, if you want your Father to teach you, if you want to grow spiritually, then this book is available from www.solm.org.